Really appreciative to be able to be here with you today. Brother Jimmy, thank you. Richardson Baptist Church, thank you for allowing all of us the opportunity to be able to come and to share the Word of God and to fellowship with one another. It has truly been a good day. Today, I'm going to talk about a political leader who brought religious and political change, reforms to a nation by building a wall and building a military. Don't worry, it's not who you think. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14. 2 Chronicles 14, and when you find your place, we'll begin reading in verse 1. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they were buried, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was right and good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and brake down the images, and cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law of the commandment. Also he took away out all of all the cities of Judah, the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built the fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for allowing us this privilege of being able to meet together today to hear your word proclaimed and preached, the gospel uplifted, the scriptures uplifted. Father, I know that this is very beneficial to us, and I pray that all would be done for your glory. Help us to hear now your word as it is your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the church where I pastor, Chunky, we have been studying some in the book of 2 Chronicles. And this particular text will be our text tomorrow. So I'm going to take a portion of it and try to talk about this today a little bit. Anyway, you have the king. Abijah had died. That's who me and the church I pastor talked about last week, was King Abijah. But now his son is reigning, Asa. Abijah has died, and Asa is ascending to the throne. And the Bible says something very interesting about King Asa. It says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, I believe that it is our desire, those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we've been converted, we've been redeemed, we've been born again, we've been brought in the family of God. And naturally, it is any Christian's desire who has been saved to do right in the eyes of the Lord. As we see the books of the Bible written, especially about these kings, some it says they did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord, and some it says they did what was right in the sight of the Lord. I know that we would all desire that for our lives, that it would say that we did what was right if it was written about us. And so today I want us to talk about this thought. Well, just the thought is Asa did right from 2 Chronicles. But I want us to look at some things that what doing right means. What does it mean for us? What does it look like for us? Well, we're going to see what it looked like for King Asa, and therefore what it's going to look like for us to do some things right, to make some decisions that please the Lord. We know that to do right in this text is to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. And we want to please God. We want God to be glorified through our lives. We want God to be honored. We want to do what's right, and as pastors, we want our people to do what's right. That is our desire, to present you before God as a people who have been sanctified, loving the Lord, living a life for Jesus Christ. That's what we desire as pastors, that one day, those who we've labored over and studied the Word of God, that you would be presented, and also we would live lives that are right before the Lord. And doing what's right, what does it mean for us today? Well, we see what King A said meant several different things. Number one, it meant excluding some things. He had to exclude some things from his life and the life of his country, and that's what it meant for him to do what was right in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us he did what was right. And then in verse 3 it says, he took away. So we see some subtraction being done here. He took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. Verse 5, he also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. And we know that during this time God gave peace to Israel, peace to Judah, the southern kingdom. There was no war during this time. So the first thing he did that was right in the sight of the Lord, so doing right in the sight of the Lord looked like excluding some things from his life. We know at salvation we come to Christ having repented of our sins. We confess to him that we're a sinner. We confess to him that we're unworthy. We confess to him that we've done wrong. And we lay before him bare. We lay before him all of our sins. And we say, God, forgive me. I repent. I confess and I turn away from my sins. We know that happens in salvation. But it doesn't just stop there for the believer. You see, it goes on in our lives. There are times that as Christians, we allow things to come back into our lives that may take us away from focusing on Jesus Christ. There may be times in our lives that we allow things to enter in our lives that would, we are not giving God 100%. We're not giving God first place in our lives, and we must exclude these things from our life. Well, in this time, in the book of 2 Chronicles, Israel, the king had said, we're going to serve the Lord. The king had said, we're going to do what's right. Well, there are people in the nation who had brought in strange gods. They had brought in idols. They had brought in things. And King Asa knew that in order to please God, they must put these things away. And so we as God's children, we need to examine our own lives at times and see, is there anything in my life that I am putting before God? The Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, we have to seek it, number one, and then we seek other things, number two, and number three, and number four. That's not exactly what seek ye first the kingdom of God means. To seek first means to seek most, to seek greatly. So when we're seeking first God, that means that God isn't just number one, and then you have a number two and a number three and a number four. But in the number two and the number three and the number four, God is still preeminent in those things. That God is first in our church lives. God is first in our family life. God is first in our social life. God is first in our work life. That in all of these things, we're seeking God first. And in order to seek God first, we have to put away some things. We have to put away the strange gods. I'm reminded in Genesis chapter 35 when Jacob had been traveling with his family back to the place where God had called him to go to live. And God spoke to him in Genesis 35 to he and his family. He said, put away the strange gods that are among you and go to Bethel. Bethel, we understand, is the house of God. That's what it means, Bethel, the house of God. But he commanded Jacob to put away the strange gods. And so Jacob immediately went to his family and he says, give me the strange gods. Give me all of these things that you have and let's put them, let's throw them away, let's destroy them, and we're going to seek God, serve God first. So we understand that in doing what pleases God, we must put away some things. Not only does pleasing God look like excluding some things, but it also means embracing some things. In verse 4 it says, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and do the law and the commandment. Now, I am thankful for grace. I know that what saves me is not my own works. It's not what I do that brings me grace. It's not what I do that presents me to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about my works. It's not about what I do. It's not about how hard I work. But after we've been saved, don't ever let ourselves get to the place where we think that good works is not valuable to the kingdom of God. What we see here is that he was commanded, and even the New Testament, we're commanded. It says to seek the Lord first, to seek the Lord, and then do the law and the commandment. So, in embracing some things, what did he have to embrace? What did the people of Israel have to embrace? They had to embrace seeking God. Seeking God. Now, in seeking God, this doesn't mean that they had lost God and they didn't know where he was, and so they're searching about where is God. That's not what it means to seek God in this context. This is living a life that is pleasing to God, living a life that is honorable to God, living a life that is serving God, and this is the Christian life. That we have been separated from the old man, that we've been separated from the things of this life, in that we know we're in this world, we have residence in this world, but we're not to have the same morals, we're not to have the same culture in certain ways as this world. We have been separated from the sins of this world. So we're seeking God, we're living a life that is serving God, pleasing God. That's what we desire, and that's what they must embrace. Now, it's important to notice that they had to embrace that because they just had to break away from the other things. They had to break away from serving idols. They had to break away from the groves and the high places, which were instruments of how they worshiped other gods. And now they're seeking God. But not only does it say seek God, it also says keep his commandments. The commandments of God is still important for the child of God. Yes, we've been saved by grace alone. Yes, we've been made new in Christ Jesus, but we still have no excuse to ignore the commandments of God. And this is not legalism. This is not trying to work and keep the commandments of God in order to bring ourselves to God, but because we've been saved, because we've received grace, because we've been made new, we have a desire in our hearts to fulfill the commandments, to obey God, to live a life that's pleasing to God. So just because we say, hey, we have to live this certain way, doesn't mean that we're being legalistic in any way. It means that we want to please God. We want to serve God. We've excluded ourselves from the sins and the things of the past. And now we've included some other things in our life that is seeking God, serving God, and obeying God. That's what we are to do. And that's what it looks like to please God in our life. But not only that, we see that they had to expand some things. In verse 6, it says they built fenced cities. In verse 7, he said, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers. There's the wall. And build towers, gates, and bars while the land is yet before us. Because we've sought the Lord, our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So now they say we need to go into a building project. Now, no, don't worry, Brother Jimmy. I'm not saying you need to get into more building projects. This is not physical what I'm referring to here. But what they did is while they had peace, they had separated themselves from sin, from the things of this world. They excluded themselves from things that would corrupt them. And now they've included some things in their life that are righteousness and seeking God. And now they want to expand some things. They want to build upon some things that they have. And I believe that in us, in our Christian life, we must see that there are some things we need to expand in our lives. We need to expand, as Brother Jeremy's talked about, our study of the Word of God. We need to expand our prayer lives. We need to build upon this. We need to add to it. We need to work on this. We need to expand leading our families for Christ and leading them to Christ. We need to expand our faithfulness to God, to his church, and to his service of God. We need to expand and build these things up. There are times when we allow these things to decrease. There are times when we allow ourselves to not give as much time and effort to these things. And over time, it seems like they begin to crumble a little bit. Well, we need to expand these things. We need to build upon these things to grow in grace and knowledge. That is what we're called to do. In the Christian life, we understand that we are justified at salvation. We are made clean and made new in Christ Jesus. But then there is that second process of salvation, which is sanctification. And this process of sanctification is a time where we will never leave until we die. As long as I'm breathing air, Brother Jimmy, I'll never get to a place where I say, okay, I'm sanctified. I'm done. I can stop. No, we don't end. We are going to continue on to be sanctified. We're going to be continuing on to be made more like Christ. We're going to be continuing on to add and build things in our life. Hey, the children's song we used to sing, "He's Still Working on Me," that's just as relevant today as it ever has been. That we know that God is working, God is building, and we are to expand some things in our lives. So we see that pleasing God looked like excluding some things, also embracing some things and expanding some things. But then we need to be equipping ourselves and others. Verse 8, "And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin, and that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor." They were training men. They were equipping men. And we as pastors, but not only as pastors, we as Christians are called to be equipping others in the kingdom of God. We have been called. Yes, we've been called to evangelize. We've been called to preach the gospel. We've been called to share our faith. But we have not done it right, and we have not completed the job of evangelism until we've entered into the realm of discipleship and begin to equip others. And now this doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and you're going to sit in that seat and we're going to go over a little booklet and we're going to check off every mark that of lessons we're going to do. That's not necessarily discipleship. Discipleship is living a life. You see how I live my life, and I'm pouring into you, you're pouring into me. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. They didn't necessarily have a checklist that they checked off, but Christ allowed them to watch his life. He invested in them, and this is what took place in the life, in the relationship between Christ and the disciples, and then the disciples and others, that they served God before people. They invested in people. And so we understand that we have families that we must invest in. Our children, that is our first area of discipleship. It's not others first, it's first our families. That's who we've been called to disciple. That's who we've been called to mold. That's who we've been called to equip in the kingdom of God. And then we move on to others. Then we move on and we begin to equip others in this life. They built an army for the Lord. They built up these people. They equipped them, and pleasing God, we will have to exclude ourselves from things. We'll have to repent. We'll have to confess every day, bringing ourselves before the throne of God. God, I give myself as a sacrifice to you, afresh and anew today. God, cleanse me, forgive me. We have to embrace some things. We have to be busy about the Father's work. We have to understand that we need his righteousness on a daily basis. We embrace the seeking of God. Then we expand some things in this life. And then we equip others. This is what we've been called to do. In this, Brother Jimmy, in this meeting you're having at this time, you're equipping others. Others see what you're doing. They see and follow the lead of their pastors, your children, your church. They see this. And this is a part of equipping. Whatever we do in the kingdom of God for the glory of God, in public eye view that people are seeing, we are equipping others in the kingdom of God. Thank you for being faithful. And let's continue on to more faithfulness. Let's continue on to seeking God together, serving God, sending people out into this world to be bearers of the image of God, and that they're sharing the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for this church, God, and what it means to this community, this pastor. Father, I pray that you'd be glorified in all that's done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.